Young people, I'm glad to see some of you here tonight. Not all of you came back, did you? Glad to see some of you here. The reason I ask that I'd like for the young people to come, especially from the teens on up. Of course, we invite the little ones too. Honey, we wouldn't think about not having you too, you little ones. Because let me say this in the beginning as a matter of introduction before I get into the message. We brethren that are in my age bracket, and maybe a little few under mine, if our Lord tarries, we're going to go home. And the work of the Lord is going to be left to the young brethren and the young sisters to carry on the work. And brethren and sisters, let me say this to myself as well as to you. I wonder if we are instilling into them the message that they are to carry when we're gone. What will happen to the assembly when we older brethren who lead the assembly are gone? We need to educate, to indoctrinate the Word of God and the truth of the church and the truth of the gospel and the mission of the church into the hearts of young people tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. I am more concerned tonight about the young people than I am the older people. It's not that I'm not concerned about them, because they're the ones going to be left here if we go on before He comes. I want to talk to you tonight about the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. I wonder if the church has forgotten the Great Commission. I wonder if we have forgotten the details of it. I want to make a contrast between this Great Commission that our Lord gave His disciples after His resurrection. I want you to look with me first at Matthew 10. We want to see another mission that God gave these same disciples. And I want you to notice the difference. A mighty difference, a great difference in the commission, in the message, and where to go. And I want you to listen to it carefully. Matthew chapter 10. If you notice in the first few verses, He gives to those disciples power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 and so on, He names them. For the sake of time, we won't go into that. Then we come down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Here He tells them where not to go. But now note the next verse. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is where He told them to go. Not to the Gentiles, not to the Samaritans, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel only. Then He tells them what to preach in the next verse. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did He mean? This is not the message for the church tonight. We are not to preach the kingdom of heaven's at hand. We're going to see that in a few moments. This was the mission given to those 12 disciples, including Judas there. And they were sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they were told to preach the kingdom of heaven's at hand. What did they mean? Israel had been looking for their Messiah. He had been promised, and they were expecting Him. And when He came on the scene, He preached it Himself in the 4th chapter of Matthew, as Jesus began to preach and say, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. John the Baptist before Him in the 3rd chapter preached and said, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Repent. What does He mean? He meant the King is here. The King has arrived. The King is in your midst, and you can't have a kingdom without a king. That's not the message of the church. That's not the commission of the church tonight. And I believe a lot of Christendom speaking and preaching today is preaching the wrong message. This church age, we are to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the kingdom of heaven's at hand. That's going to be preached later by the 144,000 in the tribulation period. They will also preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb. You read it in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. All right? Know what he tells them to do. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse. That's not for me. God didn't give me that commission. Wouldn't that have been silly for me and my wife to come over here with just her with one dress and me one suit of clothes? You know the reason why he told them not to provide anything? Because they were only going to the confounds of Palestine. They were not going to the whole world. This is not for the church. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 28 and note the contrast. This is after the resurrection of Christ. He has in mind that he already said in the 16th chapter of Matthew, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. He was speaking of the church in its future there. On the day of Pentecost, the church began. And the Lord Jesus was preparing these disciples for the mission of the church. That mission has been given to you and me tonight. That mission was given to the 11 here. But I want you to note the order in these verses. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when did he appoint them there? He told the sisters in the early part of this chapter, he told the women, go tell my disciples that I will meet them in the mountains of Galilee. And he went and he met them. And I want you to notice what happened when they met him. Look at verse 17. When they saw him, oh, I love this. When they saw him, what did they do? They worshiped him. That's first. But let me be quick to say, worship is first, but service is equally important. We, the church, has forgotten that. A great deal of it. We come to the Lord's Supper and we worship and we forget about the rest of the meetings. You've only done half of the job. God intends for us to go because that's the next thing that he tells them to do after they worship him. And I want to tell you something. If you worship at his feet, you spend time at his feet for the ministry of the Word of God and for worship of his person, you're going to be endowed with power and fired with power in the flame of the gospel to go with the message. And if you're not, there's no need to go. Then Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I believe sometimes we forget about that verse of Scripture. All power is given unto me. They tell me the Greek word means all authority. Well, if he's got all authority, he's got all power, hasn't he? You know what I've got behind me? You know what you've got behind you, brother, sister? You've got God's power to go. The power of Jesus Christ. He's given it to you and me. Isn't it marvelous? In heaven and earth. And if you will notice, the reason I said I wanted the young people to be here, if you will notice, that those disciples that Jesus chose them were not old men. No, they weren't. He didn't choose Zebedee, did he?
to go. I mean particular. In other words, the father of James and John. He said, James and John, follow me. And Zebedee was left there mending the nets. Certainly God can call an old man. But if you notice, the commission was given to young men. They might have been some a little older than the others. That's why I say, young men, listen to me. Listen to me, young men. Listen to me, Christian young men. Don't hesitate to go if God calls you. We use the word gifted in the assemblies. The word call is a synonymous word with it. God called Abraham. God called Moses. It's a Bible word to say called. I know God called me to preach. I don't have no doubt about that. And if God calls you, go. You know why? You've got God's power with you as you go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Mark says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Mark chapter 15, I believe it is. Chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If you notice, there were no miracles and signs accompanied with this commission. Now in the early church, before the Scriptures was completed and the establishment of the Scriptures and the canon of Scriptures was completed, the sign gifts followed those disciples, and there's two reasons why they did for a little while in the transition period. Two reasons why they followed them, simply because the message they were preaching was mostly to Jews. And second reason, because the Scriptures had not yet been completed or given. And when the canon of Scriptures was completed, and I want to say to you, don't you listen to somebody else that tells you they got a revelation from God if it's not from this book. This is God's full revelation to man and for the world. For the church. And those signs followed for a while. And just as soon as the Scriptures was completed and established, we have Paul given us the great epistles of the church. That great book of Ephesians, the great revelation of the church was given to Paul. That great revelation of the gospel that he preached, the revelation of the Lord's Supper that we observe, the revelation of the rapture, the coming of Christ. All these great revelations were given to Paul, and you find them in the church epistles. You don't find them in the Gospels. You find some sprinkles of church truth here and there in its future in the Gospels. But you can't find church truth, the function of church truth and principles in the four Gospels. You find it in the epistles of Paul, largely. And the book of Acts. Don't want to forget that. There's four things I want to say about this great commission. First, the Lord Jesus says, go with my power. And that power is threefold. And I want you to look at the first one. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Go with my power. First of all, the power of the Word. John Bramhall told me when I went out full-time of evangelistic work among the assemblies, having been commended by that meeting in Charlotte. He said, Brother Hubert, I want to pass along some good advice to you. Preach the Word, brother. Make much of the Word of God, because God is going to honor His Word. Preach the Word. It's powerful. Go with the power of my Word. Listen to the words here. Verse 12 of Hebrews 4. For the Word of God is quick, which means life-giving, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice what the Word does. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My, what a mighty weapon this is.
I was telling one of the boys at the customs, coming through the customs Friday night, that one day I come over here several years ago, another older black fellow asked me, he said, "Do you have any weapons on you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, let me show it to you." And I unzipped my suitcase and pulled out the Word. He said, "Bless your heart, brother, go ahead." I said, "That's the sword of the Word. Sword of the Spirit, rather, excuse me. The Word of God. Go with the power of His Word. Go with me to Romans Gospel, chapter 1. You know this one before I get there, don't you? Romans chapter 1. Not only we go with the power of His Word. I like this one. Paul said in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I want you to know who the gospel is of. It's not the gospel of religion. It's not the gospel of social gospel. It's not some gospel of some man. It's the gospel of Christ. And he says, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. And I love this, to everyone that believeth. Oh, I wish I could shout it to a lost, dying world tonight. But you know, it's just as important that I shout it to you if you're not saved. Because you need Him. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. We not only go with the power of His Word, but we go with the power of the gospel. I know the gospel is going to work when you preach it. I know it's going to do what it's sent to do. I can't make it work. I can't make the results. I can't give the increase. Only God can do that. He's only called you and I to tell it, and He'll do the work. Hallelujah. You know, I'm glad I'm saved. Whew. If I get a little happy up here, don't mind. I believe in being happy in the Lord. I don't have to be a charismatic to be happy. Amen? No, you don't. Go with me with another one to the book of Acts. I told you that His power is threefold. Go with me to the book of Acts. I'm sure you know this one too. The Lord Jesus is speaking as He's standing on the Mount of Olives. Just before as that blessed one ascended back to heaven, where He is tonight on the right hand of God. Hallelujah, I believe He's up there in heaven on God's right hand, literally and bodily in reality. And one day you and I are going to see Him and be with Him forever. And like Him. He said, "I don't want you to leave Jerusalem. I want you to wait and tarry. Because I'm going to send the other Comforter that I promised you." In John 14. "But ye shall receive power." Dear brethren and sister, do you want power? Do you want power with God? Not for self-glory, not for self-exertion, not for self-praise. Do you want power with God? Do you want power with men? Then depend on the Holy Spirit and you'll have it. The power of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't want to stand in this platform tonight if I didn't know I had His power. "Receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem." You notice the word witnesses. It didn't say you'd be successful. It didn't say that you win thousands of souls to Christ. He said you would be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What is it? Go with my power. The power of the Word. The power of the Gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit. Some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Are you? Let me settle your fears if you've got any fear. The Holy Spirit is just like the Lord Jesus. He will not act contrary to the character and the person of Jesus Christ. Whenever I hear people say they were led of the Spirit to do this and that or the other, and it's contrary to the character of my Lord, I have my doubts about what they're saying. Jesus said, "I will not leave you comfortless," means I will not leave you as orphans.
I will send another comforter, another one like myself. If I ask you for another songbook, Pastor, hey, bring me another songbook. You would know that I mean I wanted another one like this one. I'm going to give you another comforter. He had been their comforter for 3 years and a half almost. He's going away to the cross and pay the debt of sin. Now he says, I'm going to send you another comforter that's going to be with you forever. Not only will he be with you, but he's going to be in you. So go with my power. Note something else. Go back to our chapter of Matthew chapter 28. And note what it says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Did you know something? The church has a program. Yes, we do. I believe the church should have a program. And you know something? The head of the church has given us that program. It didn't come down from some ecclesiastical religious head, did it? Right here's God's program given to the church, outlined very simple and very wonderfully. What is the program that we're to go with? Teaching them, in other words, first of all, making disciples of men, getting people saved. Did you know that church missions, nowhere in the Bible says that the sender is supposed to come to the meeting? Huh? That's why the sinner is not here tonight. We are to go out there where they are. Church missions are to go out the byways and the highways and compel them to come to Christ. And then, you know what the church is? The local assembly is a feeding station. Bring them to the station and feed them with the Word of God. Go out there and win them to Christ. This is the mission. This is the program of the church. Go. And what is it? First of all, you get them saved. Making disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner as well as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, preachers, elders, and leaders in the assembly, and every member of the saints, every member of the assembly are to be co-laborers together with the Lord in the hope of the gospel, to get the gospel out in every way we can to reach men with the gospel. That's our mission. This is the program. Note something else it says. After they get saved, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Did you know who this was written to? Who did he tell to baptize? He told the disciples to baptize. How are you going to baptize people if you don't get them saved? In other words, the commission is baptizing them. First of all, we are to baptize them. That entails responsibility upon us leaders in the meeting. That when people get saved, we are to teach them the truth to be baptized. And we are to baptize them according to the Word of God. That's the program of the church. If you have been saved and you haven't been baptized, you're disobeying the Lord. And that's a sin. I spoke in Albany last year and been there this past year of Albany, Georgia. I think I spoke this message. And I said, how many of you Christians here have just been saved for years and you've never obeyed the Lord in baptism? Two old men raised their hand and one young lady. After the meeting, they told me, they said, Brother Smith, one brother told me, he said, Brother Smith, I've been poured on, sprinkled on, and dipped under. I said, well, brother, if baptism was going to get you to heaven, you got all three of them, and maybe you'd get there. But he said, you know, I've not been baptized scripturally. I said, you sure haven't. Because he said, I wasn't saved when I had all that done to me. I said, Brother Charles Smith, you need to get baptized. A young lady by the name of Rebecca Miller, a wonderful soloist. She sings lovely with songs. She said, Brother Smith, when I joined the church, I was just baptized. I wasn't saved. And I got saved later. She said, you mean I need to be baptized? I said, according to the Bible, you do. I went back this year, and all three of them said, Brother, we've been baptized. And Lester Wilson baptized them. Amen.
I said that in a meeting in Salisbury a few weeks ago, and one of the elders told me, said, "Brother, I think you come on too strong." I said, "Did I?" You know why he said that? Three of his grandchildren stood up and said, raised their hand and said they hadn't been baptized. That's why he said I was too strong. I hit home. I didn't do it purposely. I didn't even know it. I didn't know there was. I knew there was his grandson, but I didn't know they hadn't been baptized. Responsibility is laid on us in the assembly. Leaders and elders and preachers is to preach this. All right. Then we are also, those who are saved are to be baptized. They're to obey the Lord. Then we are to teach them to observe all things. Now you've got the skeleton of the outline of the program of the church right here given to these disciples, because the Lord had in mind the coming church age on the day of Pentecost when it would begin. And he gives the outline of the program. And he says, when you come to the epistles, you fill in the outline. You put on the meat on the bones. When you get to the epistles, you find all the truth, the principles of gathering, the functions of elders and deacons and leaders and evangelists and pastors and teachers and all the other helps that the Spirit of God has given to the body of Christ. You find all of that in the epistles of Paul's writings. That's filling in the skeleton of the outline of the program. Yes, I believe in the program of the church, but not the program of men. No, the program of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go with my power and go with my program. Look at the next statement. Not only are we to teach them to be baptized, but teach them the truth of the Word. We're to teach them the truth of the Lord's Supper. It's just as important that they be taught the truth of the Lord's Supper. And to come to the Lord's Supper and to observe the Lord in worshiping Him. That's taught in the Word of God. And many other things. I won't take time to go into all of them. Then he says in verse 20, he says, whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Go with my presence. Dear saints, did you know something? Young people, did you know something? You've got all the power and all the provision and all the program and all the presence you need in Jesus Christ to go. Don't you wait on somebody to push you out. Don't you wait on somebody to try to push you. God wants volunteer soldiers in His army. God won't make you serve Him as a child of God. I wish 1,000 times I'd have got saved early in my life. But when I got saved, I knew God was going to call me to preach. I knew I had to preach. I don't know how I knew it, but I did. And I went out preaching the gospel 3 months after I was saved on the street corner. I've been doing it for 47 years. At least I've been trying. Lo, I am with thee always. Dear saints, did you know when Paul came down to the end of his life as an aged man, he said, all men forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. I believe that was lived for. I don't mean in His bodily presence. The Lord Jesus is with us, dear brother, right tonight. He's with me on this platform. He's not only with me, but He's in me. Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory is Christ in you. Isn't it wonderful? Go with my presence. Hebrews 13 says, verses 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee. What a promise. I prayed that prayer in the apartment this evening. I said, Lord, I want You to go with me on that platform, and I want You to speak tonight to hearts. I will never leave thee. That's His presence. The next statement in that verse says, nor forsake thee. What does that mean?
That means He will provide for every need you have. I've been out in full-time evangelistic work since 1970, 17 years this past July. And I can say to the glory of God, and why not, if I ever talked like I was hinting for money, I didn't mean it. That's why I hesitate to talk about money. Because people get the idea that you've got your hands out. And I think that's cheap of a preacher to go around with his hands out. Something else I practiced in early Christian life. I would never walk into a place of business and say, hey, I'm a preacher, I want the 10% discount. That cheapens the ministry and cheapens the preacher. Amen. I'll do it. I'll grow beans in my backyard. Get me a night watchman's job before I do it. But I can say, young brethren, if God's calling you, don't you hesitate to go, because you'll have His provision with you. When you read that lovely book of the Philippians called the Rejoicing Epistle, Paul was in prison when he wrote that book. He wrote it to the church at Philippi, where he had been in jail for preaching the gospel. And they had ministered to him in his need financially. And he was overjoyed over it, and overjoyed over the fact that they were rejoicing. And he said in that verse, 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know something, dear child of God? We Christians sometimes think all we need is money. I know a lot of things that money can't buy. I know a lot of things that I need that money can't buy. Money can't buy love. Money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy health. And my head's along a little bit. I've been operated on 5 times. I'm getting tired going to the hospital and having a cut on me. I hope I don't have to be cut on no more until the rapture comes around. Then I know I won't have to be cut on. There's so many things we need that money can't buy. It can't buy the peace of God. He can't buy the joy of heaven. Only Jesus gives that in your heart. You can go with His provision. You got the message? Go with my power. The power of the Word. The power of the Gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit. Go with my program. His program, not man's. Go with my presence. Go with my provision. There it is. Now, hurriedly, just for a moment or two, let me speak something to those that are unsaved. I read to you a while ago in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I wonder if we're ashamed to tell people about the gospel. Did you know when you preach to people that Jesus died on a cross for sinners and that they can't save themselves? And that He paid the debt in full and was raised from the dead. Did you know that's offensive to a lot of people? And you're going to probably get a slap in the face. I mean a spiritual slap. If you want to lose an audience of people standing around, you start talking about how Christ died for sinners and they'll scat like a bunch of roaches when the light's turned on. You can talk about religion, talk about the weather, talk about politics, and they'll join in with you and argue with you about it. But you preach the gospel to them and they'll run. You might have one or two to stick by. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. He said that to the Romans. He said that in prison. He preached in the palace. He won people to the Lord in the palace where he was a prisoner. You know you can bind the preacher, but you can't bind the Word, can you? You can put the preacher in jail, but you can't put the gospel in jail. It's free as the air. To reach everyone that will believe it. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is not a thing. Salvation is not an it. Salvation is a person. And what that person did, and you know who it is? Jesus Christ, God's Son. A lot of people will accept the facts that Jesus died, but they won't accept the Jesus who died. If you just accept the facts of the gospel, you say, well, I believe that. But are you saved? You see, you've got not only to accept the fact that He died for your sins and rose again. You've got to accept Him. Him. John 1:12 said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, all the authority, whatever word you want to use, all the word right, the right, all of them are good words, to become the sons of God, even to them that worketh. No. To them that believe on His name. Oh, the simplicity of the gospel. Unsaved friend, would you like to be saved? When you turn to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, you know what those verses are saying? When you say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I believe in my heart that He was raised from the dead, you know what you're confessing? You're confessing the gospel. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth who? Not church membership, not water baptism, not the Lord's Supper, not religion, but if thou confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, I think is the right rendering. We sing to the night, He is Lord, He is Lord, and He is Lord. In my days that I have wrestled on this earth, I have surrendered myself, and I do it daily. Lord, I want You to be the Lord of my life. Be in control of all that I am till I die or till You call me home. Lord of my life. Confess Him, Jesus, as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God's raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. This is the passage of Scripture that my wife got saved by. She read it over and over and over. And then it seemed to dawn on her. I do confess Jesus Christ as my Savior, she said. I do believe He was raised from the dead for me. And she said, that last statement said, thou shalt be saved. You know what she said? She says, I'm saved. It says I am. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? It says I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Who said so? I don't need nobody else to tell me but God. It's good to hear people tell me, I believe You're saved, Brother Hubert. I believe You're saved, brother. But listen, I want God to say it. And God has said it. Would you like to know you could be saved tonight, friend? I know I've gone over again. I'll never live down to being a long-winded preacher. But please, could I talk to you about your soul? Young people, take that message that I gave you first. Go with His power. All power is given unto Him in heaven and earth. Go with His program. Go with His presence. Go with His provision. Oh, praise God. I'm so glad I have all of that. So do you. It's not partial. God is not partial in giving it. He gives it to all of us, His saints. Unsaved friend, let me show you how to be saved. Please, receive Jesus Christ. I thank God for what Brother Alexander told me this morning. He said, you know, the gospel's got two prongs to it. Sometimes the love of God gets them, and sometimes the judgment of God will get them to Christ. And we preach both. When I first went out preaching, I had three sermons. 3 months after I was saved, I got me three sermons. One on hell, one on the love of God, and one on you must be born again. I preached to death, Brother Billy, before I got any more. But every time I preach them, God saved souls. You know why? They worked because they were God's messages He'd given me. They weren't mine. God can save you tonight if you come to Him. Shall we pray? Father, we ask You tonight. We know that You know every soul in this room that's truly saved and everyone that's not. Oh, Father, we ask You to bring those souls. They got a will, Lord, that You won't violate. Father, they got a will that they must use. That will is in rebellion against Thy will. We ask You to break it, Lord. They must use that will to choose Jesus Christ as their Savior. They need Him because they're sinners. They're lost. We ask You, Father, to save them. We know that You love them. You said so. Help them to know that You love them. You've proven that by giving Your Son. The proof of Thy love is the Son that died on a cross, rose again. Father, save those.